The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus and put this question to him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died, leaving no descendants. So the second brother married her and died, leaving no descendants. The third likewise. And the seven left no descendants. Last of all, the woman also died. At the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "Are you not misled because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God told him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living.' You are greatly misled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you something a little bit different here this morning. You know, Jesus rebukes the Sadducees here because they conceive of heaven in merely earthly terms. We don't often think about the nature of heaven, but you know what's interesting about the nature of the kingdom of heaven? Every society down through history has believed in some kind of heaven. But one thing that's interesting is they all have in common is they all have thought of heaven as being in some kind of earthly terms. Now, I find these interesting. I take note of them whenever I learn of them. Like, for example, you go up to Massachusetts and you can learn about the Narragansett Indians. These were the first inhabitants of Massachusetts, the ones that the pilgrims would have met when they got off the boat in Plymouth Rock in 1620. You know what heaven was for the Narragansett? It's that your wigwam was always filled with rice, corn, beans, and squash. Clams were plentiful in the bay, and strawberries were always in season. Heaven for the Narragansett. Then you go out west and you learn about the Arapaho and the Cheyenne. These were the Indians that destroyed George Armstrong Custer in the Battle of the Little Bighorn. You know what heaven was for the Cheyenne? It was a reunion with all of your ancestors in the great camp across the sky. And you had to walk across the sky to get there. And the footprints of the deceased were the stars of the Milky Way. Heaven for the Arapaho. My favorite image of heaven, though, was heaven for the Vikings. For the Vikings, you would fight all day long in the afterlife, and then when the sun went down, all your wounds would be healed, the dead would be raised, and you'd spend the night drinking ale in Valhalla from the skulls of your vanquished foes, right? Heaven for the Vikings. Always in earthly terms, until our Lord comes along and describes something to us of another world. And we have been lacking the terms to describe it ever since. St. Paul, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it's not so much as dawned on the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him." St. Thomas Aquinas literally lacked the words to write about the kingdom of heaven. The story at the end of his life is that he had some kind of a vision of Christ and of the things to come, and this prolific writer who had filled so many volumes of theology didn't write another word. When asked why, he said, "Compared with what I have seen, all that I have written is as but so much straw." St. John of the Cross had a vision of heaven, and he forced himself to write about it. And he took a pen, and he put it onto paper, and he forced himself to start writing words. And we got to the end of the page, he realized that all he had written was the words beauty, 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 again and again and again. The best that theologians can do to describe the kingdom of heaven for us is to say that it's the beatific vision, the vision of God that fulfills all things. And in some way, this vision is a perfect knowing and a perfect being known, a perfect loving and a perfect being loved by God and by others, an ocean of joy in which there is no such thing as tomorrow or yesterday, but only an eternal now. Sometimes people will accuse the church of the very thing of which our Lord condemned the Sadducees, and that is of projecting onto God the things of this world. You ever heard this before? They'll say things like, the only reason you believe in God the Father is because you take your earthly image of God and you project it up onto God, and so you call God your Father. The truth is precisely the reverse, ladies and gentlemen, exactly the reverse. God is the real Father, and anything on earth or anyone on earth that we ever call Father is only Father in as much as they're some kind of shadow of that true image in our true heavenly homeland. And it's true of the kingdom of heaven as well. Anything on earth that you've ever known of love or of joy, anything that you've ever known of beauty or of peace or of truth or of happiness is some kind of faint shadow, some kind of distant echo of what exists in abundance, in infinity, in that kingdom. And when you arrive there, you will look back on these experiences on earth and say, the only reason I found joy in it back there was because somehow it reminded me of what I possess right here. It's the land you've searched for all your life, though you will not have known it until you arrive there. Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen says there's three big surprises in the kingdom of heaven. You've heard this before, right? Three big surprises. The first big surprise of the kingdom of heaven are all the people who were there who you swore would never make it in. You're going to look around, you're going to say, what the heck are you doing here? Who let you in the back door? Second big surprise are all the people that you swore would be there, but they're no place to be found, right? And of course, the biggest surprise of all is that you got in the door yourself. But until that time, brothers and sisters, let's take confidence in our Lord's words and in our Lord's promise. Press on through this veil of shadows to the promised kingdom of heaven and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to walk this journey. Saint Norbert, pray for us.